Today's world is full of questions with few answers. This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church with an invitation to everyone in the community to join us in an important 13-week Bible and faith examination entitled Experiencing God. This potentially life-changing event begins on Tuesday, February the 15th at 6:30 p.m. at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs. To participate in person or by Zoom, go to our church website, rockspringsumc.org, to find a link for more information or send an email to churchrocksprings@gmail.com. You may also call our church office at 307-362-5334. Please join us on Tuesday, February the 15th at 6:30 p.m. in person or on Zoom. This is a non-denominational event open to everyone in the community.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, February 6, 2022, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, we enter into worship this morning, grateful for all that we have, knowing that it all comes from you. Let the message be blessed, that it may bring deeper understanding. Help us to live our lives so that others may see you in the things we say and do. Lord, you know Pastor Jim's needs. We ask that you touch him. Strengthen and comfort him. Grant him peace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. We come to you humbly before you, Father, asking that you hear us and in confidence when we lift our hearts in belief to you in the name of Jesus, you hear our prayers. Father, we pray for many things, some things we don't even know how to pray for. And Father, there are times when the words are just not there. It is in those times of what we don't know and we don't know how that your Spirit that dwells within us, your gift of the Holy Spirit, Father, it is then that those two, you and our spirit, commune with each other and you talk about things. And if we listen, we're privy to that conversation. Not so much by the words, but by a sense of peace. A peace that transcends understanding. A peace in the middle of the darkest night, the vilest storm, or upon a mountaintop high. It's a peace that the world can't give, that we can't find here. No matter how hard we try, the peace that comes from you cannot be found except in you. So, Father, we bring it all before you today, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We bring our burdens, we bring our concerns, we bring our shortfall, our shortcomings. We bring, Father, all of it, because you know it anyway, we might as well say we've got it. Bring it to you, because we know that you love us. Despite our faults and failures, you love us anyway. Sometimes we're rebellious, and you love us anyway. Sometimes we're half-hearted, sort of committed, kind of lukewarm. Father, let us not stay that way. even though we know you still love us, let us not take that for granted or make it an excuse. So, Father, we pray that we would continually grow in you, that we would grow in our service, in our sharing, in our sacrifice, in our humility. But, Father, that doesn't mean we should be doormats, but that we should, in grace and love and mercy, share the truth that is found in your word. If things are sin and detrimental to communities and individuals, Father, should we not say so? Should we not, in grace and love, as we would tell someone to not drive drinking, should we not tell them also other things and decisions can bring about difficulties of life, hardships of communities, separations of families, division, hard feelings, a place for the devil to come in to create havoc and rob us of peace, push us, tear us away from you. So, Father, out of love, help us to live it out, share it in grace, pray and hope, but do our part. Father, for the needs upon our hearts and lives, we lift them before you today. You know what they are even before we ask. But, Father, as a parent, you want to hear from your children. And we come to you. And Father, there are needs that we speak, but there are those needs that are just struggles. We're afraid to let anyone know other than you. There are worries upon our brows, concerns within our lives. Whatever it may be, Father, we bring it to you today. And Father, we pray for our church. We pray that we are the church you're calling us to be here in the community where you have us. And Father, as we come into a time and we open up this new Bible study series, Father, we pray that denominational lines will evaporate and that Christ will be the center, that we could all come together to experience you anew, to renew our journey, to renew our faith, to renew our commitment. And Father, as we come and pray for our movement forward, we pray for other churches in our community, that Christ would be the center, the focus, and the purpose, and that we would not be the only ones to hear what the Apostle Paul has to say here in 1 Corinthians 15. And Father, we pray for churches around the world, that Christians would be bold in their witness, courageous in their journey, and loving in their actions, and that they would see Christ, and that they would share Christ, that others would see and experience Him as well, that you, our God, would be glorified in all things. Father, we pray for leaders in our communities, teachers, professionals, whomever they are, that truth, integrity would be a part of their life, which is part of the life of the Christian. We pray, Father, that Christ is proclaimed, honesty and integrity of the world around us. We pray, Father, for peace. We pray for those who seek peace. We pray for others, and we lift them up. We pray for those who are in hospitals, who are sick in their own homes, who may be shut-ins. We pray for caregivers, those who show up every day, who love and care for one another, and the ones we love and care for as well. Hear our hearts and prayers and every need in our lives as we lift them before you. In the name of Jesus, our Christ, Savior, and Redeemer. Amen.
A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe the word of God for the people of God.
There's some stuff going on at this church at Corinth, this place of crossing over. And we've been here, we've talked about it, but it's ongoing. And this situation now, as it continues in chapter 15, it seems to be that they are kind of sort of mixing things up. It seems that they are wanting things a little differently than what they had learned. It seems that maybe they're wanting to change the journey, the message, to suit more of themselves and less of what they had heard. Maybe they thought that Paul was a little stern. Maybe they thought Paul was a little hard. Maybe they thought he wasn't stern enough, or that he wasn't plain enough. But it seems that there was something going on. But there are some things that we want to see in this text for us here this morning and in our journey together. And Paul starts it out by saying, I remind you. He's calling them back into this tradition. This tradition that we have. How many of you have a Bible with you this morning? You should bring one. You know, it's kind of like I've said before, a carpenter showing up without a hammer. You're not going to get so much done. So get you, if you don't have one of your own, I'll give you one. See me after worship. They're everywhere. But anyway, these things are pretty handy. And how many of you wrote it? Anybody write it? So where did you get it? Did you buy it at the store? Do you know what a privilege it is to be able to do that? There are places in the world around us today where they cannot get the Word of God in their own hands and in their own languages. But we take it for granted that we can just go down to our brother's keeper and pick from a myriad of different versions and translations and colors and covers and styles and marked pages, not marked pages. We can get all of those things, we take it for granted. And the reason that's there is somebody assured us of being able to have that. They sacrificed in tradition for several long, many years in the United States of America. It's been that we have religious freedom. We can come and assemble, and we can open and share the Word of God together. But that's not always been so. You see, the book was written 2,000 years ago, and it's been handed on down and handed on down, generation after generation, literally. Blood, sweat, tears, and sacrifice have brought us this privilege. That's the way faith is. You share it with each other. That's how people come to know Christ, is somebody shares Christ with them. Somebody shares with them what Christ means to them, how Christ has changed their life. And Paul's doing the same. I remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news, the gospel. I want to tell you, I want to bring you back to it. I want to remind you. I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved. If you've got your own book, underline that. I want you to underline that. Through which you are being saved. Through which you are being saved. That's important. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. There are many people who believe, but it's only lip service. It hasn't sunk in. It hasn't went from here to here. It hasn't moved that 12 inches from the cerebral thought and the cognitive recognition of a faith and a Jesus and all of those things into one of experience and learnedness and relationship. That's the one in vain. For I handed on to you as of the first importance what I had in turn been given. Do you see that? Paul was sharing what he had received. It's not something new. It isn't something groundbreaking. It isn't necessarily cutting trend by world standards. It is the same story. It hasn't changed. It won't change. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way unto God. He's the only means by which we can be saved. He is the sacrifice. Paul's going to go into that with a few things that I want you to kind of note. In turn, I had received that first of all, Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Oh, how I wish we could get some screens. There's a video clip that I showed to the Sunday school class this morning that is absolutely one of the most powerful video clips I've ever seen, where this guy is yelling at this angel and saying, "What has God done? If God is a loving God, why is there pain? Why is there cancer? Why is there death? Why is there war?" And he keeps yelling at this angel, and he's backing up the whole time, and this angel's advancing on him, and he's cussing, he's ranting, he's raving, and all of a sudden, his hand hits a post behind him, and he looks, and that post was the cross of Christ, and dripping from his hand is the blood of Jesus. And he's allowed to experience for a few seconds the memories of Christ beaten, tortured, crucified, to bear the pain of what Calvary meant. Don't ever say, "God, what have you done?" It's what have we rejected that God has done. It's what has the world turned its back on. God made a way that there would be no more war, that there would be no more hatred, there would be no more anger, but Christ is rejected by the masses, by the thousands, by the millions, and by the generations. Jesus is peace. Jesus is love. Jesus is grace. It may not take away cancer. It may not take away heart disease. It may not take away diabetes. But it'll mean you'd never go through it alone. You'd never go through it without somebody you love. You'd never face somebody that judged you because of A, B, C, or D. You see, Christ is the answer. Why would we blame and shout at God instead of reject the hope that He's given us? And the love and grace of Jesus. It's one powerful video clip. Find it. How many of you are friends on Facebook with the church? It'll be on there after church. It'll be on there after church. And if you want it, I'll email it to you. Just tell me after church and I'll get it to you. Folks, it is very powerful. You can share it. It's a great witness tool. What did you think Sunday school class? Oh, by the way, where were you all for Sunday school? Sleeping in? Snuggled in? 9:30. It's only 30 minutes. There's cookies and coffee and things out here that you can snack on between services or take a little nap. There's space. Come and join us. So for the sins, Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, God's promise. Jesus wasn't plan B. Jesus wasn't because something else went wrong. It is prophesied thousands of years before Jesus came that the Messiah was coming, and it was prophesied that he'd be born in all of the things that Jesus fulfilled as the Scriptures promised, and that he was buried. He died, folks. It is central to our faith to know that Jesus lived, suffered, crucified, buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead in accordance with the Scriptures. Promises. Shouldn't have been a surprise. It was foretold. It was a promise. It was happening. And not only that, he appears to Caiaphas or Peter. He shows up to Peter. Peter, the one who had denied him. The one who had rejected him. The one who said, I will not give up. The one who was packing in the garden. Remember, he whopped off Malchus's ear with a sword. This brave and brazen Peter, he appears to him. And then to the 12, and then to over 500 who are alive, and but some of them are. If your Bible reads asleep, cross that out and put dead, died. You know, if it says they're sleeping, because they can't get a dirt nap, maybe, what you could call that, the worms crawling, anyway. You know, they're dead. Last of all, to me, untimely born. To me, Paul, a persecutor of the church, he was standing and the blood of Stephen splattered on his sandals when Stephen was stoned to death, the first martyr for Christianity. He's martyred, and Paul is standing there. His name then was Saul. I'm unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, folks, that's something you should underline right now. You should write it down. It would be a good one of those things to put on the bathroom mirror. Of course, some people don't want anything on their mirror, but you know, Carrie sticks stuff on our mirror in the bathroom. You know, and I love it. You go in there and you read, I know what I, and you read those little scriptures. And they're just wonderful. I love them. There's a psalm, and you know, there's just those things. She changes them out too. She catches me off guard, and I go, that's different. You know, I've been looking at that thing. So put it in there. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. In the many years of ministry that I have practiced and professed and been a Christian, one of the things that I've always had some people ask me is, how do I witness? How do I tell somebody about Christ? How do I give them the gospel plan? Our message should be the message of Paul, and that is, we're passing it on. I will share with you what was shared with me. I'm not finished yet. Perfection isn't happening. It's progression. That's what's important. That when you see what Paul said is, we are being saved. We are progressing on. It's every day. You see, sin is a daily battle. It's a daily struggle. It's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Some days I'm doing good. Some days I'm not. Some days I'm enjoying my Christian faith. Some days I'm not. And the problem is, if I stop If I let one day go by that I'm not in here, if I let one day go by that I'm not in the Word of God and I'm not praying through stuff, the next day it gets a little easier and a little easier and a little easier. You see, I need it every day because I'm weak. And I know I'm not alone. I know I've got my faults and failures. I know that I make mistakes. I know that some days are better than other days. But I know that by God's grace, I am what I am. And every day I'm getting one step closer to heaven. I'm getting one step closer to that eternal relationship that won't have to come back here again. I'm getting one day closer to no more doctors, no more pills, no more all of that stuff. How many of you ever get tired of that business? You young people don't know nothing yet. You know, I looked at my hand last night, and you can ask here, there was like 20 pills, and some of them are big as my little finger. You know, I look at that and think, why? Why? I mean, it's just remarkable. But at the same time, God has given gifts, talents, and abilities. But our message, what do we tell them? Don't tell them what a mess you are. Tell them what a mess you were. Tell them, yep, I still make mistakes, but God loves me through it. You see, the world needs hope. The world needs a limitless hope. The world needs love that surpasses all understanding. The world needs to experience a peace, not that the world gives, which is always temporary. I used to play golf. How many of you play golf? Do you know, I love to play golf, but after a few back surgeries, that stuff started really going bad on me. And I was a pretty good golfer. You won't believe this. I could shoot in the 60s about anywhere I played. I could drive most par fours. I mean, I could crush a golf ball. I could make it miserable. You'd get there, and that thing would still be lopsided. You have to lay it out in the sun and let it revamp itself. I mean, I could wear that guy out. You know, that's just the way it is. It's not bragging if you can prove it. And, you know, it's just the way it was. And William Deck was our golf pro, and I hadn't played golf in my life till I was 30. I thought it was stupid, and I had to take a stupid PE class in college. Anybody had to take one of them? And William Deck and his family owned the golf course where I was the pastor at the church. So I thought, heck yeah, I'll just take golf for my PE class. So I learned to hit it. And William said, you know, you're killing this thing. Because it was so fun to hit that ball and watch it go. Have you ever heard one take off like that when you hit it? It'll literally just take off. It makes I love playing golf. The problem was, you had a good hole. There's another one waiting on you. Oh, you drive that par four, you whang. You know, look at that. I've got a 20-footer for a bogey coming. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. And you missed the putt. You know, you're down there in one and you four putt to get off. You know, it ain't how you drive. It isn't how you arrive. It's, you know, how you finish. That's just the way it is. You know, that's when you say things like that. When you blow the putt. But with God, He gives you a peace that isn't temporary. He gives you a peace that surpasses all understanding. When the storm is raging, when life is turning upside down, God wants to move within your heart and life in a way that you know that whatever lays ahead, He's got you. There isn't another hole to repeat that on. There isn't another shoe that's going to drop with God first in your life. God never gives up on us. We should embrace the eternity of God. And I want to share one other thing with you. We shared it on Facebook last night, but I want to share it with you this morning. Don't ever say God helps those who help themselves. That ain't in the book. It's quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. Look it up. Even Google agrees with that statement. You know, and that's really hard to get it today, is to get Google to agree with something. But anyway, go look it up. But the other thing I want to share with you in closing is God's love for us is something you can never understand fully, but you can accept. You'll never understand His grace, but you can accept it. You can never understand why Jesus had to suffer the way He did, but you can accept it. You can accept what God has done for you. You see, that's the way true love is. You can accept it or reject it. We're going to break bread together in a minute. A covenant of love and grace representing to us a covenant of the body and the blood of Christ. That very cross that the man's hand touches in that video clip. God loves us. And if you don't think God has time for you, then you've made God in an earthly image. And your God is a little g God instead of a big g God. Because my God doesn't know limits. I hope your God is a big g God. Amen. Heads bowed. Let's get ready to come to the table. Father, we come to You this morning, and we don't always understand, and we don't always know, and we don't always do as we should. And Father, we struggle, and we got all this stuff, but You know that, God. You know that every one of us struggles with something somewhere, some way, somehow. And Father, we just need You. Father, we don't understand it. We can't fully get to it, but we realize that it is about progression and not perfection. It is about being saved. It is a thing that we give to You every day. Every part and every piece of us needs a look from You, needs a touch from You, needs strength from You. And Father, we need to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit, Your gift of love, grace, and mercy that becomes manifest and moves within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, it's a unifying Spirit. It is one Spirit that is in us, each and every one. So Father, help us to know that we are loved with an everlasting love, and that nothing can separate us from that love. But Father, let us not use it as an excuse to not read our Bibles and to pray and to seek You every day, to be in friendships and fellowship with one another, for we truly are the family of God. Hear our hearts and prayers. Prepare them as we come to Your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go to witness to Christ at work in us, that others may see hope, that they may ask us what gives us hope, that others may find encouragement, that others may find they've been lifted up, maybe even light out of darkness. And let us remember, it's all about Christ and honoring God. And truly, May God bless us as we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.